League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Y'all, last night I was entertaining a gentleman caller, and I'm basking in the afterglow of orgasms past, and all of a sudden, I look down at my phone, I'm like, I have two missed FaceTime calls from Ellen. It's 12:30 a.m. here, so that means it's 3:30 a.m. in New York City. Immediately run into the kitchen, I'm like, I have to call her and make sure everything's okay, and I had just been talking about her, and my friend goes, yeah, go. This bitch is in her bed, eyes closed, and I was like, she's stoned, and she goes, it's too bad we are doing pink collar crimes for the tour because then we can sing Pink Pony Club. I said, don't ever call my phone again, and hung up on her.
And he hung up. In my defense.
There is no defense.
I was having a very creative stone night. I was getting all kinds of inspiration because we had just had Swamp Talk and people were talking about the tour. And I was like, let me get my mind working for tour. What do we want to sing? What do we want to do? If you've never been to our live show, it's like a vaudeville show. This up the third one. There's a little singing. There's a little dancing. There's a little voices. There's a little skits. And I have had Pink Pony Girl in my ear all weekend long.
Pink Pony Club.
And then I called him and I couldn't breathe. And I thought, well, if there was still pink collar crimes and I love pink. Listen, it made sense at the time. This man said, never call my phone again.
And I had just been talking about you saying like, oh, she's literally like my sister. Because everyone always asks, what's it like to be in business with your best friend? And I was like, in any other case, I probably wouldn't do it. But Ellen and I, it's just different. I just said she's like my sister. And I walk into the room, he goes, you guys really are like brother and sister.
You all, I cannot tread on this trust that he has. What very little is left. Because he's like, what's wrong, honey? Yeah. Everything okay?
Yeah.
I didn't have words.
Well, I did. I had several.
I'm a horrible person. You don't deserve this kind of abuse, but it was so funny. Hi, everyone. It's the Down Bitch Society. We can do whatever we want. Get your tits out. Yeah. Do whatever you want. Listen, we're not going to be here for long. I was talking to my agent today, and he was saying that his husband has Spanish citizenship, and they're looking for a summer home / escape route.
Yeah.
And I was talking about Lola and how she has citizenship, and she could go to college in England, and we were talking about Brexit and all this stuff. And I was like, what are we talking about? We're not making it to when she gets to college. We're not gonna make it till then.
That's nice, dear.
You all, buckle up. This is a really fascinating episode of How I Caught My Killer. This would have been the pitch episode.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they heard this story and they were like, oh my gosh, we need to make a TV show. This is it. This is the episode.
Agreed. I'm shocked it wasn't the pilot.
Good point. But let's jump in. Still not a good title. Season 1, Episode 8, Every Shot He Took, I Felt It. Again, wordy and confusing.
Yeah.
I'm not on board with the titles for this show. Somebody contact me from production.
When you scroll through aspiring rapper 28-year-old Raheem Grant's social media, it's easy to judge. Easy. What you see are tattoos, flashy clothing, his unique style. But if you take a closer look and you really see Raheem, you'll find a loving father, totally enamored with life and his baby girl.
Hey. Daddy's little girl, he loved her to death.
He consistently records every special moment. Fatherhood, his promising music career.
I just got my major deal.
He was just lit in a sense, always live.
BC, chill.
But when his life is cut short.
He said last night Raheem was killed. I was like, no, that's not true. It can't be true.
Detectives take a closer look behind the screen.
Before you can judge, you have to know the entire story.
It becomes shockingly apparent. Things aren't always what they seem.
I said, get his cell phone.
In the end, Raheem's desire to capture it all leads to his killing.
It's about to be a hell of a show.
I don't think we would have secured a conviction without those videos.
We are in Riverdale, Georgia, in the winter of 2017. Riverdale is about 25 minutes outside of Atlanta, where my Uncle Butch and Aunt Bonnie live with their seven kids, all names starting with a T: Troy, Travis, Tracy, Teresa, Tony, Tina, and Tammy. Now, Atlanta is a pretty big hub for the film industry as well as the music industry. Mm-hmm. And we hear about 28-year-old Raheem Grant, also known as Red Beezy. Raheem has been in show business since he was a kid, and as an adult, he's on his way to becoming a very well-known rapper. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I was once a famous rapper in New Orleans as a teenager.
I didn't know that, but you did say famous, mm-hmm. just to make sure, because, you know, I have one bad ear and the other one's got an ear infection. I'm not running in all cylinders. You're a famous rapper.
Yes, I was on my way. They called me Lil Faggy. And actually, I cut a few demos. I just happened to have one. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear it?
Nothing. I want more.
Okay, great. All right. I'm just going to hit play. Here we go.
Crop top faggy, oh shit, is that little faggy? I love you, let's get married, but no kids, they all scary. I'm 120 pounds when I'm soaking wet, but that is all okay, cause my dick is big. It's the gay thug life for me, most of it spent on my goddamn knees, but it ain't cause I'm a prey, no way, listen to what
keep
I say.
Keep talking that shit and I'm gonna get you, slap your dumb dad and your old cousin Mitchell. You can stay really mad cause your man wants that old Twinkie special.
You're gonna be famous.
Honey.
Infamous. I'm sorry, your rapper name again?
Yeah, Little Faggy.
Yeah.
No, sorry, not Little. That was very Republican of me. And they call him Little Faggy. Sorry, Lil Faggy. I've been putting the fag in Lil Faggy for many years.
All right, I'm just gonna really quickly look over the terms of our mutual partnership real quickly before this goes to air. I post this question to the Facebook group today. This is a hard one, but overall, just everything, lyrics, delivery, in your mind, not your favorite, who is the best rapper of all time? We'll say it on the count of three. One, two, three.
Biggie.
Eminem.
Feminist women love Eminem. Chicka, 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 Slim Shady. I'm sick of him.
Oh God, this is so embarrassing for you. Biggie's not even in the top 10, Joey.
I don't know. I love Biggie.
I didn't say do you love him. Do you really think he's the best rapper of all time? I don't even think Biggie is top 10.
Listen, I said what I said. I feel how I feel. It is what it is. I mean, also, like, I think Busta Rhymes is amazing.
Busta is amazing.
He's like,
peak Busta, yeah.
Yeah.
So back to the story. Raheem was not only a musician, but he was involved in all aspects of music production. He was very accomplished at rapping, but also producing, engineering, mixing, writing. He kind of had a hand in everything. Not only that, he was a father, and he was one of those fathers who filmed everything. More on that later. We meet Geraldine Grant Bryson, who is Raheem's mom, and of course, she is singing her son's praises. But do not sleep on Down Bitch Geraldine. She is not a boy mom. Put a pin in her because she is fantastic. And she just tells us
everywhere he went, everything he did, people knew him.
In every town, I think you would agree to this, New York, LA, there's a scene everywhere. And he was part of the Atlanta scene.
Yeah.
Atlanta's huge for music, always has been. And in the past, like, 8 years has been booming for television as well. It's definitely an entertainment mecca. And Geraldine is just beaming with pride talking about her son.
Well, that brings us to December 29th, 2017. Around 11 p.m. that evening, a young rookie cop named Joshua Teske responds to what he believed would be a cut and dry homicide. He arrives on the scene and realizes very quickly this is anything but that.
Yeah, we are a comedy podcast here, and Joshua's gonna come in clutch on this episode because, like Joey likes to remind us, true crime, it's very dark.
Uh-huh.
Joshua said the night that he got the call, his first thought was,
this is gonna be an easy call.
Joshua, I do know that you are a rookie, but walk me through what part of your job or anything involving a homicide is easy. We give cops a lot of shit. I give people a lot of shit. I just do a podcast, but I'm thinking an easy call for the cops is a noise complaint.
Right.
Kids playing BB guns with a bunch of Natty Light cans. He's really earning his title as rookie cop. You know, whenever I hear rookie cop, do you know who I immediately think of? I feel like you're going to guess this.
I don't know.
David Arquette in Scream.
You look awfully young to be a police officer.
I'm 25 years old.
It's just the best rookie cop character ever. Anyway, carry on.
We also meet then senior investigator for the Clayton County DA's office, John Gossard. And he says they received a call from a person who says, a woman showed up on my doorstep with a baby in their arms and they were bleeding from stab wounds on their legs. And this injured woman is named Sierra Harp. She has a 3-year-old child named Angel with Raheem Grant.
And Sierra was co-parents with Raheem.
Here's the thing. They don't really make it clear on this episode as to what their relationship looked like or if they actually even had a relationship.
Right.
Some side research yielded new information, which is that they basically were trying to co-parent together, but they weren't exactly together. Like, they didn't live together. They weren't working toward marriage or anything like that. The only thing that the episode really explains is that Sierra was after romance, right? She wanted a romance with Raheem, but Raheem was focused on that little girl and his career.
Yeah, it was very clear. Those are the only two things that mattered in his world.
Yeah.
And it is muddy the way they lay out their relationship. Maybe they were off and on, not serious, whatever, if they don't fill us in. But this wasn't a marriage. This wasn't a partnership. But they were both committed to co-parenting baby Angel.
Sierra had so many stab wounds up and down her legs that when paramedics arrived, they were afraid she was going to bleed out. So she was immediately rushed to the hospital and then rushed into surgery.
Obviously, their main concern is getting her help as soon as possible. But meanwhile, they have a crime scene to reckon with. The police go and check upstairs. And this is where Raheem Grant lives.
The responding officers end up seeing a blood trail leading from their apartment.
You all, we see these crime scene photos. You all have some 4K cameras up in these police departments.
Yeah.
It is gruesome. So when they go to enter the residence, the door was already unlocked and they walk in. No sound, no person that they can see. There's definitely blood everywhere as they keep showing us in these crime scene photos. And they're following the blood through the apartment and it's going to the bathroom. And then there, between the bathroom and the bedroom, they found a deceased person lying face down. And the victim was Raheem Grant, baby Angel's dad.
Now, Raheem's father, Tony Bryson, is here to give us a little backstory on his son. He says Raheem was a very good kid, really kind, also very funny and mischievous. I love witty kids, kids that are funny, even if it's unintentionally funny. But yeah. I feel like Kenan Thompson, I mean, we saw him on All That. Kenan Thompson was probably that kid who just came out and was like, I got jokes.
Totally. Kenan Thompson is, I don't want to talk about it. He's not funny.
Oh, I find him very funny.
He's adorable. And you know that everyone you ask up and down SNL will say he is everybody's favorite. The nicest guy, everybody's favorite, the coolest. But no. No. What's his best character? What imitations does he do?
Well, he doesn't.
What's your favorite iconic Kenan?
Oh, well, I love when he does Black Jeopardy.
This is Black Jeopardy.
I'll allow it. Anyway,
Raheem was also very into music. His love for music was always very clear.
I think this was really cool when they explained it because they said that even when he was little watching cartoons, he wasn't focused on Tom or Jerry. He was focused on anything that had music in it or involved with it. That is sort of protege. I feel like they were saying he was a protege without saying it.
Yeah.
And I believe that if he mixed and engineered and wrote, I'm thinking he's like a next level artist. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that brings us back to the night of the murder.
Now, Mama Geraldine is here. Mama Geraldine is the provost of DBU.
Yeah.
Do you remember what a provost is, baby?
It's fancier than a dean of students.
Someone called me. It was Clayton County Police Department. We need to talk to you about Raheem.
She is such a Southern mom. Her first instinct is her son got in some shit.
Said to myself, what has Raheem done?
Of course. That's the first thing any mom of a mischievous kid. I have a mischievous kid. I was a mischievous kid. The first thing my mom would have said is, oh, God, what did Ellen say?
But I also want to clarify here. Mama Geraldine was like, what did he do? Was he playing his music too loud and like you had to call me about it?
Exactly.
Not like, was he involved in something nefarious?
Oh, no, because he wasn't. He wasn't at all. Yeah, I didn't mean to make it sound.
Oh, no, I know you weren't, but I want to make that very clear. Like, this wasn't a kid who got into trouble with the law. This was a kid who was mischievous.
That's why it was the joke. It was like, oh, he's playing his music. I'll tell him to turn it down.
Yeah.
It was just very cute, very like Southern mom, you know?
Yeah.
I don't don't know the tone of this phone call because Mama Geraldine didn't share it with us, but essentially the police explained to her, no, I'm sorry, Rahim was actually murdered. She is doing an emotional 180. She is so confused, obviously devastated. And while she's telling this story of finding out the worst news any parent could ever possibly hear, we're seeing all these old videos that he posted on social media or YouTube. Tons of his little girl dancing with him. He's singing. She's dancing. This little baby, I want to take her little face and I'm going to put my cheeks.
Yeah.
It was just very sweet. Rahim was a girl dad. Through and through, he doted on that baby. Every single person that sits down to an interview says, everywhere Rahim went, that baby was with him. And they showed no less than 50 pictures of them together. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Besotted.
It was so cute.
Obviously, losing their son is horrible, but they're also thinking, this sweet little baby girl has lost her father.
I'm sorry. You all know my dad was a rough draft of a dad, and he was about as useful as balls on a dildo. But it really does warm my heart to see just like a big man holding his,
what the fuck. It is 10:32 a.m. on the West Coast. Balls on a dildo?
Well, you don't need them.
Does that dildo have balls? Then it's useless to me. I only want dildos with nuts on them. Show me the nuts.
It could just look like a little bullet.
Okay.
Well, I don't need the accoutrement. I don't need glitter. I don't need a rabbit. I don't need a snail. I don't need a snake. Just make sure it's got batteries. That's it. I'm just saying, even though I'm... Y'all, Joey's... not okay.
Sorry, that just got me.
I'm just so broken. You would think that I wouldn't like those videos. And I always love seeing daddy-daughter videos. It was just,
yeah.
And there was a lot of them, you all. If you watch this episode, there's a lot. And it's very sweet.
So now back at the crime scene.
The door wasn't kicked in. It did not appear that a home invasion had taken place. So told me that whoever committed this shooting had free access to the apartment.
They have to consider Rahim was on the brink of stardom. Mm-hmm. Was this a jealous rival? Was this a deranged fan? The only person who can provide that information is the mother of Rahim's child, Sierra, but she's in surgery. So the only thing that they have to turn to for answers is the crime scene.
You know, whenever they show crime scene photos, I like to think I would be a really good detective because I'm really good at sorting shit out and figuring. I would drop something, I would Steve Urkel my way through a crime scene. I'd be like,
well, can I do that?
I would kick something. I would knock something over.
Yeah, because you know that a crime scene, you can make or break a case.
Absolutely. Every single one of them. And I would break it.
I would be too scared.
Oh my gosh.
I'd be like, I can't walk in here. I can't even sleep with my closet door open because it feels like somebody's watching me from my closet.
That is a true story, you all.
Yeah.
So Sierra is in the hospital fighting for her life. They're trying to figure out the who, the what, the where, the why. And while all of this is happening, the news is spreading, the media is getting a hold of this information, and we hear from Audrey Washington, a reporter from Atlanta. She gets a call in the middle of the night from her producer about this murder that they need to cover. You know that cop before?
Joshua?
Dippity Dewey?
Mm-hmm.
He really wants us to know that Sierra is unable to get to the phone right now. He's like,
the issue is that we're trying to figure out what happened right here, right now, and we can't because we can't talk to her. She's traumatized. And she's going to need some type of help. And Sierra, she's sedated at this point, so we can't talk to her.
No, we got it. This man says the same thing four different ways. He does say that they can't talk to Sierra, but they can talk to the three-year-old little girl. What did you think when you heard that?
I immediately hated it. I understand that they have to try to get answers.
Because, you know, there have been a lot of cases where little kids have helped solve things, help figure things out. There's a really famous 911 call. I think her name is Tia Herlin. If you're a big 911 call person, you've definitely heard about it. Children can be helpful because when you think of a three-year-old, you'd think they're a baby, but they can give information. But this sweet baby angel, she was shy. I think shy was a nice way of saying traumatized.
Well, we get some backstory on Sierra and Rahim's relationship. These two met in 2013. Sierra had offered to do some promotional work for him. And as she got to know him and got to know Rahim Raheem's family. She confided in Raheem's mother, Geraldine, that she had a rough upbringing, but she was fighting to make her way toward a better life. And both Raheem and his mother were happy to lend a helping hand. Mama Geraldine says, like, I really liked her. Mm-hmm. And eventually, the working relationship between Raheem and Sierra led to romance. And then suddenly they had little Angel. I'm telling y'all, you have to see pictures of this little Angel. She is appropriately named.
When you say led to romance, do you mean like he would play her clitar?
Did you say clitar?
It's a, the clitar.
Henry, can you play some music for me? Thank you.
Wow, Ellen, I'm really enjoying my evening with you. You know, I've been thinking about this all day long. And I really just want to lay you up by the fire and show you what I'm really made of. And by what I'm made of, I mean my badussy.
Oh, since you're a musician, maybe later you could play my clitar.
Clitar is ridiculous. Clitar is actually abominable.
Anyway, they made a baby. Raphael Capone is here, and he was a colleague of Raheem, and he owned Soul Asylum Studios Group in Atlanta.
Raheem came to us back when I was engineering. Really great guy. He would write the hook. He produced the beat. But he was very talented.
Boy! Beezy!
He was just lit in a sense. Always live.
He also mentions how Raheem was very active on social media. Tons of videos, lots of behind-the-scenes stuff.
Also, Raheem just signed a record deal.
Yeah.
This man was about to break out.
Yeah.
Back at the crime scene, at first glance, detectives noticed that Raheem had several wounds to his back and the back of his head. They collect his cell phone, gun casings, the knife that they believe was used to attack Sierra, among other things. They also went to the neighbor's house where girlfriend Sierra was asking for help to look for evidence. And the neighbor said, well, when Sierra knocked on my door, she had a gun in her hand and I have that gun. Mm-hmm. The neighbor hands over the gun to detectives and this just brings up a lot of questions. Was this the gun used to shoot Raheem? Was she defending herself? Did she somehow get the gun from the shooter? They don't know until they look up the serial number.
And all of the information comes back and it was registered to Raheem. And then they also found the holster for that particular gun on the top of the refrigerator. So now the question is, why did Sierra have it? And is that the actual gun used to kill Raheem? Or was she using it in self-defense to maybe try and kill his murderer? They don't know. Now, it's only a handful of hours after poor Raheem is killed and Sierra comes out of surgery and her prognosis looks good in terms of surviving. She obviously has over 20 stab wounds.
Yeah.
She has a lot of obstacles to overcome.
In the days following the murder, Raheem's family is preparing to lay him to rest. This all happened so suddenly, all of this. I mean, you're just thinking it's going to be a normal day, and then you get that phone call, and he had so much promise, so much going for him. Like, I would imagine that it's just every day is complete chaos in your mind, trying to wrap it around what's happening.
So a couple days after that, Sierra had been in the hospital for a week, and she regained consciousness. And of course, all of the detectives want to talk to Sierra, get her account, find out exactly what she knows. And it turns out their search for the truth and answers is actually going to be a little bit easier than they thought.
She initially told us that she knows that she shot him at least once, but she doesn't know how many times.
And we hear this interrogation.
Can you tell me exactly what happened?
I remember cooking dinner and him drinking and him taking three Xanaxes because I asked him not to. And when he doesn't take anything, he's fine. He's happy. And he took it anyway, so I knew to be on guard. And then he told me to go alone because he had to take care of some business. And I remember seeing a girl sitting on the couch.
So there was someone else there. This rookie cop, sir, I am sorry you are on the ass end of my mouth today. I have never met a man who says more wrong things at more wrong times and uses the wrong words than you, my new friend, Dippity Dewey Joshy. I just met you today, but this is what he says.
When I first heard that there was a third person that's in the apartment, I start to get excited.
Sir.
I'm going to implore you to pump the brakes. Whatever you need to do to slow your roll. This is still a murder investigation.
Yeah.
How about we don't use the word excited pertaining to anything around anyone's homicide? Can TV shows run everything by me for the foreseeable future? I'm down one job.
Yeah.
I could use another one. I would like to be editor of everything.
Since we're talking about running things by you, I have a question. Can you run your outfits by me before we record, Miss Hannigan?
I am in a bathrobe. In my defense, I have been sick. Also, my ex-husband got Lola insurance and it isn't covered by her pediatrician. So I've had a morning, Joseph.
You have, my love. You really just turned that around on me. I am a monster and I'm very sorry.
What was the first thing I said to you when I saw you on camera this morning?
You said I looked very handsome.
And then I said, what's that sweatshirt? I've never seen you wear it. And he says, oh, it says New Orleans.
It's backwards because of the camera. I didn't know if you could tell. You asked me what it was and I told you.
You are evil.
Pipe down. You look like somebody who's talking about what they saw outside of a building on fire on the news. I saw it happen. All you need is some rollers in your hair and a cigarette hanging out the side of your mouth. You got a goddamn light.
Well, anyway, they need to find out who this third person is. And this is what Sierra has to say.
And he said something and I said, I can't hear what you're saying. Your music is too loud because he didn't want to hear. He didn't want the girl to hear what he was saying. And then he hit me. And he slapped me and he started punching me.
Sierra says she fell down. And when she fell down, she says a knife fell out of, they don't say if it was her purse.
They don't say where, right?
But that basically the knife ended up on the ground next to her. She says Raheem saw the knife, grabbed it, and began trying to stab her with it. Sierra says, I was screaming for help, hoping that the girl who was in the other room would help, but she didn't help. She left. Mm-hmm. And from there, Sierra says Raheem became even more violent. She's on the ground. Her glasses have been knocked off her face. She's feeling around. She feels the gun. From there, she says, I couldn't really see anything, and I just began shooting.
Well, then she goes on to explain this is what happens in her relationship. She's been suffering this kind of abuse for years. And in my mind, I was like, woof, this changes everything.
Absolutely.
So not only is this woman reliving this account with 20 stab wounds that she's trying to heal from, she almost died. It's a miracle she's still alive. Well, they release Sierra. They accept the self-defense claim for now. But there's this little thing in the back of their brain. This is what makes me think I would be a good detective, because they're basically thinking, wait, if he's attacking you and stabbing you, how were you able to shoot this man in the head? This man was shot 6 times. But there's more, because upon further investigation, they also find that Raheem had injuries to his face. He was stabbed in his forehead, also on his shoulder, and in his chest. They're accepting the story for now, but it's not quite matching up with the evidence.
If he was attacking her, facing her, fighting her from the front, how did she shoot him in the back of the head? That is something that I wouldn't even have thought of.
You have to leave that to the professionals.
Yes.
You have to leave it to the trained people who are fully capable and have complete emotional stability, rational thought. I'm using big words. I'm sorry, honey. Keep going. Leave it to people like me.
I appreciate it. How you bangs doing? I'm listening. Go on. Show me how that steady hand trims those bangs in the middle of the night.
Oh, we were talking about those RuPaul drags the other day. I was like, I could never beat you. I never have. 15 years, never happened.
Yes, you have. Plenty of times.
Raheem was shot 6 times. And not just that, he had stab wounds on his forehead. He had a stab wound on his shoulder. And then he had another one that was near his chest.
After sustaining so many life-threatening gunshot wounds, Raheem never had a chance. He was utterly powerless.
I'm not a doctor, but I believe he was shot so many times, there was so much damage, he couldn't get off that ground if he wanted to.
And the evidence that they collected from the crime scene and just the evidence on Raheem's body, it did not support Sierra's account of what transpired that night.
You know, I just said that.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't think you did.
I did. He was stabbed in his forehead, also on his shoulder, and in his chest. They're accepting the story for now, but it's not quite matching up with the evidence.
Got it.
Did you not hear that part? That's what you hear when I talk. Yeah. It's crazy that you can hear me from the kitchen.
You know, we both do this to each other, so you're not better than me.
You are absolutely right.
You do this to me often. This is not about misogyny. This is about ADHD is what this is.
It is about two pots. yelling at each other. There's not a kettle in sight. It's just like,
so basically now investigators are thinking, we have to find the third person who was in that apartment.
Well, Sierra comes in clutch with some more information. She said, I know who the person was. It was one of Raheem's friends from the gym. Well, they track her down real, real fast. And she says she was there to hang out with Raheem and she was in the apartment and Sierra and Raheem went to the other room and she could hear Sierra yelling. And then this person sent a text to Raheem at 10:26 p.m. saying, yeah, I'm gonna go. I would do the same thing. If I was in the middle of a co-parenting squabble, exes, whatever they are, I would feel mighty uncomfortable being in that house as well. So I don't think that woman felt like she was leaving a situation that was out of control or violent. I think she was leaving a situation that was uncomfortable.
I mean, we've talked about this before. Even when I've been at a friend's house as a kid and their parents start arguing, I'm like, I wish I could eviscerate right now.
I want to unzip my skin and walk out of it and just leave a skin suit on the ground. Bye-bye. No, thank you. So uncomfortable.
So that 911 call made by the neighbor came in 15 minutes after that third person sent the text. So that's plenty of time for plenty of things to happen.
Let's let Deputy Dingleberry say it.
That large of a gap between when the incident started and when 911 call means that there was a lot of stuff that happened between then.
I'm going to say this in a really calm and monotone voice so that you don't get riled up and I don't raise your cortisol levels because I have called you various versions of Deputy Dingleberry in a very short amount of time. You are not good at this. You're a rookie and you have time to get out and start a whole new career. You know what I think you'd be great at? Horticulture.
Mm.
Make a call.
Talk to the plants. Don't talk to people. At this point, investigators know more happened than what Sierra is letting on. So they go and chat with Raheem's mother, Geraldine. She read the report. She read Sierra's account of what happened. And she was like, I was fucking livid. Now she's like, look, I'm going to tell you this. My son was not perfect, but I did not raise him to lay a hand on women. And he would not have done that. I had to pause my grieving to go into mama bear mode to defend my son. And not just Mama Geraldine, but the people around Raheem, the people who knew him from friends to that producer who owned a studio. Like everyone was like, the claims that Raheem was abusive did not line up with the man we knew. Now, listen, you don't know what happens behind closed doors.
Yep, Chris Watts. I always go back to Chris Watts. You never know.
Some people turn into completely different human beings in private. We have seen it.
And so all of this is kind of adding to the already sus feelings they have around Sierra. Because at this point, the investigators are going off of the whole gun scenario. Was it his gun? It was at the top of his head. How did he get shot? All of that and a gut feeling. It turns out you can't just go on a gut feeling in a court of law. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
Turns out, I don't know, you have to have evidence or something. Whatever.
Yes.
So now the cops not only have these conflicting emotions, they have conflicting accounts as to who this man really is. Who is he? To your point, you never actually know. Well, someone uncovered that Sierra had stars in her eyes of her own because there are a lot of opportunities that can be given to you just by having the proximity to someone in the music business anywhere. But in Atlanta, it's all about who you know. So they thought, well, maybe Sierra was trying to get in on this little bit of fame.
Her own family said that.
Yeah.
Sierra wanted romance, but Raheem chose his career. And that's when things got complicated. But Raheem knew he had to keep it civil with Sierra, or he could lose his daughter.
Now, Raheem's mother said this. I told him, if Sierra ever makes you uncomfortable, if things start getting dicey or things take a turn, you take out your phone and start recording. That is what you need to do to protect yourself. Fucking excellent advice.
If she's the queen of receipts, can I be like the lady in waiting of receipts or something?
Yes.
If my phone ever got leaked, my God. So Mama Geraldine gave this information to the cops. She said, you know, my son recorded everything. He put stuff on social media, but he recorded everything. He recorded every minute of that baby girl's life. You want some answers? You need to get your hands on the cell phone. Oh, super fun. The cell phone is in an evidence locker and they need to get a warrant to get into it. And we got to get this show moving. So on a whim, the authorities call up Sierra and they say, hey, we need to go through Raheem's cell phone. Any chance you know the passcode? She was like, oh yeah, sure. No problem. It's 002. 5G. And boom, it opens in one shot. Yeah, I think I have his passcode. You think she didn't peek over his shoulder once or twice? I speak from experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
1711. That's etched in there for the rest of my life.
Detective Josh Teske is thinking, I can't believe that she gave that up that easy. And he starts looking through the phone and finds a video that was taken on December 29th. It's of Raheem filming himself, covered in blood, saying,
y'all see this? Look at this knife. Y'all see all this shit? That Sierra Hart did to me. Y'all see this shit, right?
Really?
All right, hold up. Y'all.
Those are real fucking gunshots. It took me a while, Joey, to wonder if that was a reenactment. No, that was the real audio from Raheem's phone.
It's a lot. The first gunshot hit the bathroom mirror. The second one hit Raheem, and he drops to the ground. Sierra walks over to him, picks up his phone, and stops the recording. Now, there are three other videos that Detective Josh Teske discovers. We hear Raheem saying, I'm dead, baby, stop this. And then Sierra says, no, fuck you, you've beat me for the past 4 years. And then Sierra shoots the gun two more times. Raheem is begging for his life. And you can also hear little Angel in the background saying, no.
Yeah.
Then Raheem begs to kiss Angel one more time.
Oh my God.
She says, no. And then he goes on, he says, if you do this, they will lock you up for life. And she's saying, I don't care. And Sierra is hysterical at this point. Mm-hmm. And she finally says, you beat me, you abused me. And as she's talking, you can hear that she's getting herself more and more upset. And she's saying, I don't care, I don't care. And finally she says, fuck you. And she fires the gun two more times. And after that, you don't hear Raheem anymore. What the detectives were shocked by is that Sierra filmed herself shooting Raheem.
On his phone.
And what was very clear by these videos is that this was not self-defense.
The police were just as shocked as we were. Just because they're police, they all agreed they had never seen anything like this. They didn't know what to do. It was just sort of silent. And they realize, of course, they have to call her in. They call her and she's like, yeah, hey, oh, you need me? Yeah, I'll swing on by. I'll be right there. They said she was in good spirits. She was positive. The police know the truth, and Sierra doesn't know they know the truth. She doesn't know they have the video. She doesn't know anything. She probably doesn't even remember giving the passcode or whatever. And they sit her down, and they basically said, let's watch a little video, shall we? She watches it, and she just puts her head down in defeat. She knows. They arrest her, and they're just basically tell her, you got to wait for the judge.
Now, I know what you're thinking, because I thought the same thing. How do we know that he wasn't abusing her all those years?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you to hold out, because we will get an answer on that later on.
Yeah.
I have so many questions, because if she filmed herself doing this, what I want to know is why she would give the passcode to them.
I don't think the synapses were synapsing. Remember, she's still recovering from major surgery.
Yeah.
She might have been on medication.
Yeah.
She might have been loopy. She's not thinking she's a suspect. She's already given a confession. Sierra never claimed to not be the one to kill Raheem.
Yeah.
She just said it was in self-defense. So in her mind, why would they even be looking at her? They have all the answers that they need. They're just not the right answers. And actually, it's interesting because then we meet John Fowler, who is the lead prosecutor against Sierra Harp. And you know, this isn't a particularly revolutionary statement, but I actually just want you to hear what he says here.
Before I meet with a family before trial, I tell them the exact same thing every time. I tell them that I have bad news and I have good news. The bad news is I cannot bring you closure. But the good news is I will fight like hell for justice.
That's all we want out of the Justice Department.
Yeah.
We want a good guy in the Justice Department. And I love the way he said that. I'm never going to be able to heal your heart. We say this all the time, right?
Yeah.
It's never going to bring you closure. It's never going to bring you peace, but it will bring you justice. It's a nice way that he put it. And he seemed very emphatic that he was there to put whoever the bad guy is in jail. And we love that.
So they go to trial. Prosecutor John says the videos on Raheem's phone neither confirm or deny Sierra's claim of self-defense. So they have to dig deeper. Now, Raheem had no prior arrests or charges. There were no 911 calls made in regard to Raheem being abusive.
Still doesn't mean anything.
That's exactly right. But Sierra claimed that Raheem consistently abused her.
Yeah.
And she was always afraid that one day he was going to kill her. The prosecution is like, the videos are our best defense. We need to look at them frame by frame. And they do. I mean, slowly, meticulously, methodically. And it's actually one of the final frames that proves that Sierra did not kill Raheem in self-defense.
The phone kind of moves ever so slightly. And you can see her leg as all of the horrible, vicious attack is happening. And you can see a tattoo on her leg, which they matched the video to the pictures that they took in the hospital. That leg has no stab wounds, and they matched where the stab wounds were. Maybe it was on a different leg. No, it was right by the tattoo. Her legs were fine. Raheem never attacked her with a knife. She stabbed herself. That is one of the most diabolical things I've ever heard.
She almost died.
Oh, yeah.
She almost died because she almost bled out. That means that she inflicted those wounds on herself, but they were aggressive. They were violent. In order to do something like that, you have to be in a very specific frame of mind. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is there is no way that Raheem could have stabbed her because he was completely incapacitated. Mm-hmm. After all that she did to him, there was no way he could have wielded a knife at her.
Let alone to hit her 20 times.
The jury finds Sierra Hart guilty of murder.
Remember when I said, how do we know that he wasn't abusive all of those years? Mm-hmm. Well, it was at Sierra's sentencing that she gave herself away because she asked for leniency from the court. She also apologized. She apologized to Raheem's family, specifically to his mother. And she went on to say that if I had not been drunk that night, this never would have happened. She absolutely concocted this story that he was abusive. She was intoxicated, went into a rage, and she murdered him in cold blood.
Yeah, alcohol had a lot to do with it. And not on the episode, Sierra's mother pleaded to the court to give her daughter a life sentence and to sterilize her so that she could never procreate again because she was such an evil woman. All of these lies she told, all of this heartache she put this family through. And Sierra sat at her sentencing hearing mouthing obscenities at the woman who birthed her. This whole family was crazy. The mom was like, lock her up. Give her the maximum. Whatever the maximum is, double it and add a zero. She needs to stay behind bars for forever. I am really struggling with this one, Joey, because if there wasn't a video, I would be like, man beats woman, woman kills man.
Yeah.
Snapped.
Absolutely.
She did it in self-defense. That is how my brain is wired. And I recognize that that is some kind of reverse bias. And I don't know how to change it because statistically, I am correct. But there's always going to be ones that are manipulating the system that in turn ruin it for everyone.
Yep.
And that's why people don't believe women, because of crazy fucking people like you who, when you don't get your way, you take someone's life away. This is a really conflicting one.
Yeah, no, I get it. We do. We need to believe women, but we forget too that there are people out there who are not good.
Yeah.
Who have malicious intent, and they may be on the fringe of a movement using that movement to their own advantage, to benefit themselves. And the fact of the matter is, not on the episode, Sierra worked as a promoter in a nightclub. Mm-hmm. And one night she drugged Raheem and slept with him. And that night resulted in her becoming pregnant. And so they had a baby together. She always wanted to be with him, mm-hmm. but Raheem had other plans. And really, I think the only reason he gave her the time of day was because of Angel.
Yeah.
I wonder, and this is speculation, I don't know this, if there was a woman, you know, that third person who was at the apartment, perhaps it was a woman he worked out with, met at the gym, maybe they were sleeping together, maybe they were dating. And if Sierra had been following him or keeping tabs on him and was intoxicated, showed up and confronted him, and you know, and it went sideways. I mean, that's a real possibility.
I mean, we sit and we cover the awful things that men do most days out of the year, but the statistics for women aren't zero.
Yeah.
Snapped has, I don't know, 117 seasons.
Yeah.
And those are all ladies. And we cover deadly women. It happens. It's there. It's very real. And interestingly enough, Mama Geraldine actually is working to restructure paternal rights in the eyes of the court in the state state of Georgia. I feel like I could talk about this for a really long time too, because courts are horrible to women. The justice system is horrible to women. However, in custody cases, I can't tell you the amount of times that lawyers told me when I was going through my divorce, the court's always going to side with the mom. Unless the mom has substance use disorder, unhoused, or has some kind of extreme medical ailment, the court is always going to side with the mom.
Yeah.
And I get it. I do. I'm so conflicted because I know wonderful, amazing, kind-hearted friends who are dads, who are just the sweetest, best men. But how can I sit here and say that when every other day I'm screaming into a microphone about men who are horrible to women and children?
I understand.
But that man loved that baby girl.
I think in this case, justice was served. Sierra received 125 years in prison. She got the maximum sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is, like you said earlier, if Raheem hadn't filmed himself, this would have gone some other way. Thank God Mama Geraldine was so adamant.
Mm-hmm.
Check his phone. I promise you, whatever happened is on his phone.
And now that poor baby has zero parents. I mean, she has tons of loved ones.
Yeah.
But her dad is gone and her mom is gone.
Yeah.
Say something funny.
Now listen, I think that we should come up with a rap name for you. I think little crackhead's already taken. I think you should rap about cutting your own bangs. We're going to sample Ricky Martin's, you know, she bangs, she bangs. And we just need to come up with like little banger. Oh, she bangs. Bless these bangs. Lord help these bangs. The rapper.
Henry,
you fix this.
Quietly bring in the music.
Fix the bangs.
Henry, help Ooh, me out. Just bring in the music.
Oh, God, these bangs.
Oh, would you look at that? The music. Oh, thank you, Dumb Bitch Society. You know, I gotta make fun of Deputy Dingleberry because this show is shot well. There's no reenactment actors. You guys are giving us nothing.
Yeah.
What can we work with? It's a great show. But prototype for the show. This was the spec episode. I am convinced.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, Dumb Bitch Society. We have a couple more of these before we go on to a new series. Until then, I love you, Joey.
I love you, Taylor Marie Martian. I love you, DB, so much.
I love you, Dumb Bitches. Bye.
She means.
You look like one of those rap guys' girlfriends.
He's my superior. The janitor's your superior.
Why me? Why me? What happens?
What's that most famous song by Kenny G? I'm going to find it for you really fast.
No, that's Careless Whisper.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.